Good morning. Hello, hello. Yes. Ian, always bringing the energy. We appreciate it. Good morning, everybody. Happy Coming Home Sunday. We're delighted to be together after a summer of different schedules and travels and all the things. Thanks for being here today. Whether you're worshiping with us in person or worshiping with us online, you enrich our worship of God here together. We're delighted to have Heather Entrekin with us, Reverend Heather Entrekin. I wondered about whether I could say she was coming home. To me, it feels like she's coming home. I know that that's not really true. But Heather and Pete are here with us. They have been a part of our church family for a long time and then moved to New York and have been an important part of our church family, as Heather has been our guest pastor in times of transition. So, Heather, thanks for being here for the month of September. And then on September 29, Heather's dear friend and our future intentional interim pastor, Rick Mixon, will be joining us on the 29th. So we look forward to meeting him soon. And Heather, thanks for being here in this time. So following worship today, we have a party outside, and it's time to get the party popping. There'll be a popcorn bar. If you're wondering what that means it's like an ice cream bar with toppings, but it's popcorn with toppings. Get that salty and sweet together. There'll be a live jazz band happening. There'll be face paint, all kinds of fun things. Grown-ups, we invite you to pick up your kiddos in their Sunday school classrooms as soon as church is over, and then we'll go outside to join the party. Please note that in your bulletin, there's a connection card, and we invite everyone to fill that out, your name, your email if we don't have it already. Choose a next step if you're interested. If you're visiting, we strongly encourage you to share your email just so we can follow up, get to know you, tell you a little bit about us. So, I think those are all the announcements we're going to name today. Now, feel free to look at the other announcements in your bulletin during worship or throughout the week. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And let's worship.
If you are able, will you please stand for the invocation? Lord, into your most holy presence we now come. Calm our anxious spirits, remove the distractions that would keep us from you here today. Break down the walls of separation that we have built to keep you from our hardened hearts. Let us each hear this message that you have for each of us today and open our hearts and our minds and our ears to receive it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. But happy are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
God is the one who made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them.
God is the one who keeps every promise forever.
The Lord will reign forever. O Jerusalem, your God is King in every generation.
Thank you.
This morning's scripture meeting is from Isaiah 35. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong and do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unplugged. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, and the grass shall become reeds and rushes. The word of the Lord.
Helps us celebrate this special day. Sunday is a special day because we get to come together and make music. We get to come together and laugh and tell stories and pray, talk to God, and listen to God. We get to learn together, and that's one of my favorite things. This is a time where we shift into some new learning. You maybe started a new classroom at school or in preschool. You might be with new teachers and new spaces. And today we start church school here too in a new season. And I have a gift for you. Do you see this big basket? Whoa! There's a lot of things in there. Can you guess what that is, Finnegan? Since you... There are presents in here. Yeah, and can you make a guess? Do you do this when you have a present at home for your birthday or for Christmas? Do you make a guess about what it might be? Who has a guess? A book. Yeah. I've got different...
Stuffy.
Oh, or maybe a kid... Does this look like a kitty cat stuffy? I don't know. I feel it. Kind of hard. Yeah, I think it's a book. This is a book, in fact. And in that book, it's all about stories about God and God's people, the things that Jesus taught about and the things that Jesus did, the ways Jesus was and is. And so we have a Bible to give each one of you. We're going to do that when we go to Sunday school in a second. But we have different Bibles for each of you, some with beautiful pictures from illustrators all around the world and some with more words than pictures, depending on your age. Yeah. But this is all because together when we're here, we're thinking about these stories and we're learning together. And we learn from the stories and we also learn from the stories of one another. So your sharing really matters. So, don't let me forget to give you your gift today, okay? There's a certain one for you here. Each of you has one in this basket, and I want to make sure you get it today. So, would you put your hands out like this? It's kind of showing giving, and it's also showing receiving, right? We can give something like this, and we can also receive. Yeah, so put your hands like that, and think about the gift you're about to receive. And we're going to pray some words. God, we all pray that these words and these books, these stories about you, God, and your people, about Jesus and his love, may they help our brains and our hearts know you and share your love in the world. Amen. Now, we have some more blessings and prayings to do, and we're going to do the same thing with our hands, except we're going to shift them a little bit, except that you're the first to start. Today, at the beginning of the school year, we always say to God, God, we know that you are with the kids in the spaces they're learning. We know that God is with you. And so today, we say that again. God, we know you are with each of these kids as they learn. And then we're going to ask the teenagers to stand up because we know God is with you too. So we're going to ask the teenagers to stand up. And then when they stand up, we can put our hands out like this towards them. And then we're going to ask the college students to stand up and we're going to bless them. And then those who are the educators, the teachers, we're going to invite them to stand up. Those that are teachers out of this building and those that are teachers in this space. Some of your church school teachers are here and they'll stand up. And we'll do these blessings, and each time we can put our arms out like we're saying, yes, God, you're with them, and we know it, and we're glad. Okay? So, you're going to start. We're going to give thanks for you. So all the teenagers and the grown-ups, would you put your hands out towards the kids? Because we're going to say some words about them. Your church family believes that each of you is a precious gift from God. And we pray that you find joy and wonder in your learning. May God bless you that you may develop hearts that care and minds that seek to understand God's world. Amen. Now we're going to invite the teenagers. Let's see where the teenagers are when Valerie calls them up.
Can everyone hear me? Okay, there we go.
Okay, hands up to the teenagers.
Let's Yay, I'm so glad to see all of you here. So teenagers, let's stretch our hands out toward you. Your church family believes that each of you is a gift from God, filled with potential and possibility. We pray that you will have curious minds, compassionate hearts, that you will have courage in the face of peer pressure, that you will have a faith that finds concrete expression in your daily life. May God bless you, that you may grow in wisdom and in truth.
Amen.
Be seated.
Pastor Heather's going to say something.
For undergrads and graduate students, our college students, would you stand, please? And there are many others, welcome, who are probably home studying this morning, but we'll bless them as well. You may be far from home, but this church family embraces you as its own. We pray that you will have open minds and faithful hearts, that you will find peace and wisdom in the face of competing demands and challenges, and that you will know that you are loved. May God bless you in your ongoing quest for knowledge and truth, that you may become more fully like Christ in thought, word, and deed. Amen. Seated. And our educators, will you stand? All of you who teach here and far away elsewhere, please stand. Every day, you stand alongside learners of all ages, offering your wisdom, guidance, and support. We pray that you will have every strength and resource you need to offer your gifts, that you will find grace in the face of daily pressures, and that students and colleagues will perceive your faith. May God bless you, that you may model your lives on Jesus, who was the best teacher and friend. Amen.
Amen. And now for those of you that work with the youth or with the children in the nursery or in any of the Sunday school classrooms, would you stand up? All of our church school teachers and youth leaders, those of you that have done Bible study and are part of the gathering, yes, awesome. All the teachers, yes, good, okay. Let's put our hands out towards them. And actually, let's us stand. I feel like we could stand now. Can we stand? Let's put our arms out towards our church school teachers and youth leaders. Many of them are youth. All right. You share your time and gifts as you teach and care for our babies, our children, our youth, and our adults. As a congregation, we commit ourselves as learners, and we pray that God's Holy Spirit will nourish and equip you for the responsibility of nurturing the faith of others. Amen.
And now we can respond as a congregation and believe with what is printed in your bulletin. We pray for you as you take up this holy task of education. May Jesus, the great teacher, guide you. May the Holy Spirit nurture you. And may the grace of God uphold you this school year and all the years to come.
Amen.
Let us pray together. Loving God, we come into your presence with thankful hearts for the blessings of a new day, for air to breathe, homes to shelter, food that nourishes, friends and family who care for us, this beloved community, the ability to move and to come to this place as so many have done for so long before us. Thank you for the mystery of love and life, gifts of grace that go beyond understanding, a call to give our best selves, whoever we are, wherever we are, whatever we do. Help us to grow and to share the fruits of your spirit always. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. God of love, we don't know what to say or do in the face of unspeakable suffering, grief, sorrow, pain, in our own lives and all around this world, where children shoot children, where nations bomb hospitals and schools, hostages suffer and die, refugees are turned away. Keep us from the temptation of apathy, denial, excuses, distraction. Let us not forget that we are one with all people, all creation, and let us not lose faith that even our small gestures of compassion and love, imperfect though they may be, demonstrate your presence, your love. Make way for healing, move us toward a better day. Help us to trust you and one another as we seek to open our eyes and our hearts and our brokenness to you, Creator of life, abundant life, this day and tomorrow and always. We bring before you the concerns and needs of dear ones whose names we know: Caspian Powder, Bob Reynolds, Rob Snyder, Roberta House, Mervyn Eucharts, Esther Floyd, Betty Gersler, Marilyn Marsh, Janet Sanuski, Bill Nummy, Helga Mortensen, John Milburn, Greg Dubois, Cindy Okarski, Keith Moorer, Beth Granberry, Grange Burnside, the Sanford family, John Rowe, Faye Key. Receive now the silent prayers of our hearts. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
May the voice of singing
From the book of Mark, 4th chapter. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The word of the Lord. On that day, the passage begins. That day has been a long day. In fact, there have been a lot of long days, it would appear, for Jesus and the disciples. They've had late nights and missed meals. There have been family demands, huge crowds coming and jostling to see and hear what it is that Jesus has to say and to teach, trying to find a place in the crowd to get a clear view and to hear the words, no screens or sound systems to help. So on that day, tired and depleted as they must be, having just finished a series of teachings, lessons on the parables, Jesus says, "Let's go across the lake, the Sea of Galilee, away from the crowds to the other side." Leaders need to take care of themselves. But all does not go as expected. It's a big sea. It's not like a great lake like Huron or Michigan where you can't see the other side. You can see to the other side, but it's big enough that a sudden violent storm can sweep in and do a lot of damage. Well, that's what happens this night. The storm blows and it beats on this little boat, and there are no life preservers, and those disciples are bailing and sailing for all they're worth, but the boat looks like it could very well be going down. And Jesus lies on a cushion, asleep in the stern. Sleep, by the way, is a traditional posture of trust in God. Nobody else is sleeping. Now, you don't have to be on the sea to know about terrifying storms. You've had a few of those here in Ann Arbor. There was one not so long ago that put the lights out for several people. And the last time I was here, about a year and a half ago, it was the aftermath of a huge ice storm that had done an awful lot of damage. It seems that storms are sort of a way of life, getting to be a way of life in Ann Arbor and lots of parts of the country and the world. It's a terrible, helpless feeling to have the wind blowing faster and louder than wind should blow, to see trees crack and crash to the ground, hear sirens, have the lights go out, have the sky turn black and green as it often did where we lived in Kansas City, and then to drag the dog and kids, if you have them, to the basement and wonder if the house will hold. As you know, the terror of being out of control, having the world turn upside down, happens in many ways. You can lose your job. Your first choice college rejects you. The body can get sick or old. Loved ones leave us or die. There is violence in our schools, in our politics, in nations, our own and all around the world. All kinds of storms can threaten to sink the boat. Well, the disciples are understandably afraid. So they wake Jesus, the only person who seems not to be in this boat. Teacher, do you not care that the water is rising in the boat and it looks like we're about to die? It's not clear what they thought he could do. I mean, they were the fishermen, right? They knew what there was to know about sailing, and they'd been on the sea before. They'd been through storms before. Jesus was a carpenter. But he should at least wake up and panic with them. Or maybe pray. So they wake him up, and he does something no one saw coming. He rebukes the storm. Settle down. Quiet. Peace. Be still. Perhaps there was even a little room in that rebuke for the disciples as well. That word rebuke in Greek is epitimao. And the word, the part of it epi or epi, which we would say, means higher. Epidermis, epicenter, epitaph. And timao means standard or value. So Jesus doesn't just wake up and shake his fist at the storm. He rebukes it. He calls it to a higher standard. He rebukes the storm because the storm threatens life. And Jesus is all about life, abundant life. After I left my last pastorate in Kansas City and began teaching at Central Seminary, also in the metro area, Peter and I left the church practicing our denomination's code of ethics for retired ministers, and we joined Metropolitan Missionary Baptist Church across the city. On one of my first Sundays there, Peter was out of town. Our pastor rebuked the congregation. He rebuked us for injuring our health, harming our bodies by the thoughtless ways that we stuff ourselves with fast food, fried food, fat food, too much food. He held up a higher standard. He said, "You were created in the image of God. This is the only body you will have on earth. Respect it, honor it, take care of it, be grateful for it." Now that rebuking took some courage because this was an African American church we had joined, and it was located in a depressed part of the city, in something that was called a food desert. And many people who lived in that neighborhood and went to that church ate most of their meals from McDonald's and Burger King and Circle K and 7-Eleven and the like. Unfortunately, that day, I was looking forward to stopping at Five Guys Burgers and Fries on the way home. But the preacher rebuked me, and so I went to the grocery store and got a salad instead. Now, just so you know, this preacher rebuked many others as well. He rebuked government officials and elected representatives and bankers and business people and realtors and others who had created a racist city and maintained it, where people, African Americans in particular, were caught in parts of the city where there were no grocery stores, and lots of other problems as well. Jesus rebukes the storm. This thing that's threatening life. And the great storm becomes a great calm. Now you would think that the disciples would be relieved and glad But consider this, the story continues, they were filled with great awe, which is one way to translate the Greek term here, phobos megas. But literally, those words mean big fear. When they thought they were going to die, the disciples were afraid. When they saw that they were going to live, the disciples were afraid. First, it was a storm out of their control. But now, the water's calm and those black clouds have drifted away, but they are still facing something that is beyond their understanding and control. Who then is this, they ask, that even the wind and sea obey him? Where might such a person take us next? Can we trust him? Well, it's up and down, but they do trust. They see and they believe in the reliability and the strength and the goodness and the truth of this man, Jesus. Later in the book of John, Peter will say, "Where else can we go? To whom should we go? You are the one." With the words of abundant life. And you don't have to trust, or you don't have to understand everything to trust it. I don't understand electricity, but I trust it. I don't understand my computer, but I trust it most of the time. I trust pilots and surgeons and teachers. I trust this church. Trust takes us beyond knowing. And the disciples could see that, and it scared them. That uncertainty is scary. Their next stop was going to be on the other side of the lake, the land of the Gerasenes, Gentile territory, foreign, unfamiliar for people like Jesus and his friends. There are strangers and enemies over there, and plenty of sick, needy, and demanding people. The disciples' trust in Jesus would take them to that place and far beyond. And notice that it goes both ways. Jesus trusts these soggy, scared, seasick disciples as well. That's how they got into the boat in the first place, remember? And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them. Jesus didn't take them in the boat. They took him. Our church, like any church, has weathered storms. Founded in 1828, and if anybody can do math in here, you'll realize that we are very close to a very exciting and significant anniversary. Founded in 1828, our first many years were rocky and difficult. One pastor stayed just 1 month. We are in a season now of unknowing at many levels here at church, but also all around us and all around the world. What a good time to trust that Jesus is here in the boat. Maybe confident enough to catch a few winks and ready upon waking to call us to our best selves. And you know, that has already begun. This summer, some of our board members and staff spent time together to begin exploring where our boat might be going. And Rick Mixon, our transitional interim pastor soon to come, graciously came, although officially he doesn't start for a few weeks yet. And I heard it was a lot of fun. And I trust and hope that there will be a lot of fun to come, as well as hard work and many other things that are going to be asked of us, but fun will be part of it too. One of the things that they created, they called a Jesus lens framework, a Jesus lens, a way to look through what it is that is ahead of us. Questions to keep in mind going forward. And they sound kind of like the thing Jesus does in this story, a call to a higher standard. Here are some of those questions. How are we encouraging dialogue that invites thoughtful introspection? Do we have both the spirit and practice of forgiveness? What is our one thing that sparks wonder? How might we help our communities flourish? Do we have the courage to stand with the marginalized? Are we making choices that Jesus would have us make? These sound like the words of people who trust Jesus. And friends, there is every reason to believe that Jesus still trusts us. Giving is a part of worship, including giving of our resources. And giving is a meaningful expression of faith in God, as well as our commitment to the work of God in this place. I invite you to give. God of all grace, we offer these gifts as a part of ourselves in gratitude for gifts that you give us beyond measure. We pray that these gifts might help to fulfill the purpose to which you have called this church. Amen. Passing of the peace is an ancient tradition of the church in which we have the privilege of blessing one another with the peace of Christ. We use the words, "May the peace of Christ be with you." Hello, I'm so glad to see you all. Peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ be with you. Yes? Oh, thank you. Edie, it's so good to see you. So good to see you.
Astrid, would you join me up here? Many, many people among us have stepped up in the last 2 years to offer support and help and expertise. And Astrid, our own Dr. Beck, has been one of those exceptional leaders. Astrid has been leading our Bible study for the last year and a half, and it has been a true blessing to our church. With Heather, and now in the future, Rick, coming in Astrid gets to take a little break. And we can't let that happen without expressing our gratitude and our love. So thank you, Astrid, for stepping in and being the expert and the leader that the church needed in Bible study when you did. We are beyond grateful. As a small token of our appreciation, we give you this plant, and hopefully this gift certificate to REI will allow you to hike now that you have a little bit more time on your hands. Thank you, Astrid, so much.
Thank you for the recognition. It's been a great privilege for me and an honor and most of all a joy to be teaching the class as the other many classes I've taught here earlier. Most of all, I've learned so much from you and I thank you for that.
Please stand to receive the benediction. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.